hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
We are doing a series at the moment called Lead. Lead is this series where we are discussing the topic of leadership. And if you haven't been here so far, what we've talked about is that we believe that every person who follows after Jesus is a leader. Sometimes that can be a bit off-putting for some people because they don't see themselves as being a person of position or power or the loudest voice in the room, the most charismatic person, so how can I be a leader? But the truth is that any person who chooses to intentionally influence others is someone who is a leader. And that is what God calls each of us to do in our home, in our family, and in particular, we're looking in this series at our workplace. How can we lead others in our workplace? And so we got an exciting night tonight. Tonight, you're going to hear no more from me. Instead, what we've got is we've got three amazing members of our community who are going to share about different characteristics of leadership. And you'll find that they're going to talk about the character of the leader. That's just the way it's kind of turned out. And so we're going to pass the mic first to Virginia, and then we're going to go to David, Virginia Collingwood, David Walker, and then Nathan Ellis is going to finish it off for us. Be really encouraging for these guys. They're going to do an amazing job, and I'll hand it over to Virginia. Give her a hand.
Cool. Kia ora, everyone. It feels good to be up here and sharing really briefly, 7 minutes, tonight on integrity in the workplace. And I want to start my message by sharing to you all about how I'm passionate about the workplace. And that could be work, or it could be school or study, or wherever your sphere of influence is. And I'm also really passionate about creating a place where you shine bright for Christ to those around you. So God has this beautiful, almost coincidental way of pulling on your heartstrings about things in preparation for what he has called you to do. When I was asked if I wanted to share on this, I felt ready to share based on my last 2 years in the workforce as a high school English teacher and what God has been revealing to me during this time. So I want to encourage you, and I want to actually challenge you tonight. As with many things in our spiritual walk, I believe that integrity is founded upon the simple, yet at times very confronting principle of looking at ourselves less and looking at God more. So firstly, let's just define integrity. And being the English teacher I am, we're going to go to the dictionary. And it is defined as the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. But tonight, as I prayed about this, I decided I want to take this a step further and argue that it's not just about being truthful and honest in your words, but it's actually about being honest in yourself and to yourself. Honest in what image you are created in and in who God has created you to be. What that looks like is acknowledging that we have been created by God for His glory alone. And when we are honest, the core of who He created us to be, which is image bearers of Christ, that means that we can step into that image. And through representing Christ in our workplaces, we bring Him glory. So Daniel and I, we have been studying 1 Corinthians recently with some friends, and this thing which has just been resounding in my mind and my spirit over and over again is this idea of less of me, more of Him, to boast in Christ alone, that even as it says in Corinthians, that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisest person. So this is kind of going to be a theme of this message, less of me, more of Him, all to the glory of God. So to start with, we are light. That's why I believe in Matthew 5, when Jesus is near Galilee and He's sharing His Sermon on the Mount and talking to His disciples about how to practically live out righteousness, He says things like, hunger and thirst after righteousness, be merciful, be pure-hearted. So all these things, He's establishing what the characteristics of living an upright life are before God, so integrity. But then He goes on to say after that in Matthew 5:16, and I think that this is key, In the same way, oh, it's there, good. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, everything should be for the glory of God. And when we take our eyes off ourselves and focus on following God's commands, as stated on the Mount, He gets the glory. The glory that He, why does He deserve glory? Because He's our Creator, He's our Savior, He's our Redeemer, He's the giver of eternal life, and so He rightfully deserves glory. Then, once again, we actually see this principle applied three verses before in Matthew 5:13. He says, "You are salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." See, salt, it's important. It flavors food. It stops food from decaying. I can think about like little pickles in a pickle jar. And even back in the Near East, small doses of potassium nitrate salts, did my research, were used to fertilize the land. So Jesus, He used this metaphor, like He used light, He used this metaphor for His disciples to show that they could positively affect the world. They had the opportunity through their lives and witness to bring blessing to others, and just like salt was used to stop decay, the salt of living a life of integrity can be used to stop the decay of sin in our workplaces. So just like fertilizer, salt can be thrown out onto the earth to produce fruit for God. Therefore, through our actions and living lives of integrity in the workplace, we can positively affect those around us. Through focusing on God, following after His righteousness, He gets all the glory. And ultimately, that points to Jesus Christ in our workplaces. So I experienced this 2 weeks ago when I was in my office after school with my colleagues. They were having this big discussion, and some of them were discussing how they quite like swearing. And one of them mentioned how they don't like swearing around me and apologize for when they do swear. At first, I kind of felt a little bit weird about it, and I didn't really understand how they'd picked that up, because I'd never, in my opinion, reacted with my body language or my words before about it. However, as I was leaving school, God highlighted to me that since I never sworn at work, it'd been like a light on the hill, and my colleagues had picked up on it because I was walking in God's righteousness. People couldn't help be confronted, and in turn, it actually changed the culture of the office because they didn't swear around me. So it's about being a light on a lampstand. It's about reflecting His light to those who we come across to give Him glory. And as we just stated, it's just like salt stops decay that comes from sin. We can be positive role models in our workplace to stop decay too. Now, I also want to talk a bit about the reality of this. It's important to understand that people may feel convicted. And just because you are doing the right thing before God doesn't actually always mean people will be understanding. That is why we have been discussing how integrity is not about ourselves. It's not really about how we feel or how people react to us. It's about God, so we can rest in that. So, for example, we see this play out between our friend Joseph in Genesis and Potiphar's wife. Now, Joseph, he was unjustly sold into Potiphar's house by his brothers. He worked so well whilst he was there, he was actually promoted to the head servant of the household. It says in Genesis 39:3-4, "When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted to his care everything he owned." However, Potiphar's wife really wanted to sleep with him, right? She liked Joseph. It actually says in the Bible that he had good stature or something. So she liked Joseph. But Joseph, having a man of integrity, he wouldn't succumb to her requests because he had integrity before God. Even though he did everything right, look, he didn't compromise, he actually fled the temptation, she responded by getting him thrown in prison. She was confronted by what I think is her own lack of self-control, or shall I say lack of integrity, in wanting to have an affair with him. Now, Joseph being thrown in prison for upstanding behavior might seem a little bit anticlimactic to us. It might seem even a little bit disappointing. But, as I said, sometimes people don't understand, or they're confronted when we live lives of integrity, or even sometimes they just forget. The key thing to realize was that God was with Joseph amongst it all. In fact, within that section of Genesis, it says four times that the Lord was with Joseph. So the Lord continued to use Joseph in the prison. And one day, he interpreted the dreams of the cupbearer and the bread maker. However, even though the cupbearer was reinstated back into Pharaoh's palace, it wasn't until 2 years later that Joseph was remembered. It's like being in your workplace and you're just forgotten about for a long period of time. It's probably how he felt. But then he was given the opportunity to interpret Pharaoh's dream, and he was elevated to second in command over all of Egypt. See, sometimes you live righteously, glorifying God, showing integrity, and people in the workplace don't get it, or as I said before, they just forget. However, church, God never forgets. So in concluding my sermon, I've titled this bit, "It All Points to Jesus." And that's good news. Joseph's faithfulness eventually led to him being restored and restoring the Israelite people, which at the time were his siblings. God was faithful to him and his promise. See, Joseph actually held on to the promise of what God had created him for and who he was in God. Joseph himself declared in Genesis 50:20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And ultimately, church, this prophetically points to who? Well, it points to Jesus, right? He was harmed, he was brutally killed for us, yet through his resurrection has saved our lives for eternity if we accept him. It's important to understand that people may feel convicted, and just because you're doing the right thing, people will not always understand. But that's why we have been discussing tonight that integrity is not about us, it's about God. So let's rest in that. And finally, integrity. I believe that it can be summed up as the idea of living for an audience of one, living for God. Through cultivating a deeper relationship with God, others in our workplace and in our lives can be positively affected by it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm David Walker. My topic tonight is teamwork. And I want to just give a wee thought about integrity, a little bit of a random information here. Who knows what an integer is? An integer. Oliver. The numbers, they're the whole numbers. And it's the same root word. The integers are the whole numbers, and integrity comes from that, the root integer. So integrity is wholeness. So that's something that the Lord's wanting to put in our life. Anyway, my topic's teamwork. This is not a topic that's found in the Bible, yet teamwork is a principle that has vast amounts of biblical support. Probably the closest analogy to teamwork in the Bible is that of being members of a body. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." This is similar to being in a team. A team may have a leader or a few leaders, but the majority are the individuals who make up the team. In this case, the team is the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul gave a marvelous insight into leading and leadership when he said, "Be followers of me as I am a follower of Christ." If we hope to lead people in the right way, the first thing we need to do is make sure we are following Christ. If we are following Jesus, then when people follow us, they will be on the right track. When we hear of leadership, we can easily think we're being called to something super special, perhaps to be something we could never achieve. This used to occur to me as a young Christian. I heard many sermons about doing great things for God, and I kind of had the feeling that unless I was Billy Graham II, I'd never quite made it. But eventually, I got to accept that most people in churches work in everyday jobs, that God is happy with that, and we should try to do the best we can in those situations. Most people are called to be members of the team, and this actually takes quite a bit of stress off us. I heard a story about a girl that was applying for a position in a college in America, I think, and I like the story. There's a good wee principle in it. So the girl was completing her application form, which had all the usual questions about her schooling, her academic record, her sports, her interests, her hobbies, her service, and so on. All was going fine until she got to a question that really stumped her. Describe any leadership roles you have held and your abilities as a leader. Describe any leadership roles you have held and your abilities as a leader. The girl's heart sank. She had never been a leader. She had been in many groups, but always as a member of the team and never as a leader. How could she answer this question? Somewhat sadly, she explained that she had not held leadership roles. She did not see herself as a leader, but she was happy to be involved in groups as a follower. She posted the application with a heavy heart and expected to get a rejection letter. The reply came with a note that said, "Thank you for your honest answer to the question about leadership. As the other 1,237 applicants all consider themselves to be leaders, then our college will need at least one student to be a follower." She was amazed her application was successful. The message of this story is that many may want to be leaders. In fact, most of us need to operate as members of the team. There is a secret in the Christian life: to be content in the less conspicuous positions. When we find the place in the team to which we are best suited, we are happiest and most successful. It may be an upfront leader, or it may be as a supporting team member. Sadly, some people want to be the hotshot, the big noise, the look at me kind of person. We need to remember that Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly in heart. Take my yoke on you and learn of me." And in Philippians 2, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." That's a bit hard sometimes. That can go against the grain. We're all inclined to think, "Hey, I've got the good ideas." Sometimes life can change. Hopefully life does change that attitude. Now, I want to speak a bit also about church leadership and teamwork. Jonty wondered if I could share a few thoughts as a member of our church leadership team. Our church constitution has a team approach for governance. We have a team of trustees and a pastoral or leadership team. Working as a team means that the decision making does not all rest on one person. And there are a number of scriptures where a team approach is supported. Proverbs 11. "In an abundance of counselors there is safety." Proverbs 50:15. "Without counsel plans fail, but with many advisers they succeed." And Acts 15. "The apostles and elders gathered together to consider this matter." Working as a team means we don't always have decisions going exactly our way. Yes, we can put an idea forward, but then need to be humble enough to not insist on our own viewpoint, especially when the majority view is something else. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not insist on its own way." This attitude works not only in church leadership, but in many areas of life, getting along with our friends, at school, and at work. A chap I knew many years ago said to me, "We'll get on fine, as long as you do things my way." And I thought, he was kind of joking, actually. Now, teamwork is also important where we work. Some years ago, an employer gave me a reference. In it, he wrote this comment: David is a team player. I wasn't quite sure what he meant, but I took it as a compliment. I've since realised how important it is in life and at work not to be lone rangers, but to be team players who are able to work in with others and be able to receive advice from others. I used to teach at Hillview Christian School. The staff and team culture was fantastic. One colleague and friend of mine, David Mitchell, stood out and was great to work with. He was always willing to fill a gap, pick up an extra bit of load, cover a playground duty. In summary, he was reliable and dependable. How do you rate at work? Are you a team player? Do you support others? At work, interestingly, we're a part of the staff team, but we still remain as members of God's team. I hope you can lead by a good example as a worker, and also a good example in your attitude, your language, your conduct, as a follower of Jesus should be. I want to finish with two scriptures. Titus 2 verse 9 gives instructions for the workplace. It was addressed to slaves and masters, but most of it applies to employees today. This is my paraphrase. Workers are to be subject to their employers in everything and to be well-pleasing. Not talking back or stealing, but demonstrating faithfulness so that they may adorn the teaching of God our Saviour in everything. In summary, at work we are called to be good examples, to lead others by our example and conduct. Finally, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So that's it from me. Have a great week and God bless you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, David and Virginia, for what you shared. Really encouraging stuff. Really important things as well to do with leadership. So personally, when I think of leadership, I think of this time in my life where I had this new passion, this new desire to seek God. And I had this leader in my life. He was my mentor, and I worked alongside him. But I was also in another position where we were living in the same house. So we saw a lot of each other. We didn't just bump into each other at work on the odd occasion. He was my mentor. He was a work colleague, but we also shared the same house in the same place. And so there came a point in this time where we got to know each other quite well. And we spent quite a lot of time together, and I started to see this disconnect, this two-sidedness as such, whereas I'd see him at work and he'd be talking one way, speaking one way, acting one way, and then when I saw him at home, there was quite a disconnect, and the things that he shared about or talked about or was so strong on seemed to not have effect on him in his personal life at home. And for me, that became a real struggle. And so when I think of a good leader, good leadership, I think of someone that is who they say they are and acts according to their beliefs. And so, what do I mean by that? I mean that your priorities, how you spend your time, the way you speak, your personal life should reflect your beliefs. And so this was really important to me. And in short, a good leader leads themselves well, not just at work, but also in their personal life at home, in their sporting activities, whatever it may be for you. John Maxwell said in one of his books that he writes on leadership, "If I can't lead myself, others won't follow. If I can't lead myself, others won't respect me. If I can't lead myself, others won't partner with me. And going back to my story with this leader, is that is exactly what happened. This leader that I respected and looked up to as I got to know him, and as he was kind of two-sided in his life and he acted differently at home to his beliefs or what he spoke, he believed on in the workplace. And so I lost respect for him. I lost trust in him. And to be honest, I lost a lot of opportunities where I could have learned a lot from him. And so this idea that we need to lead ourselves well is really important, and I find it's really important to me, and it's always something I have to wrestle with myself. It's a continual battle. I want to share about another leader in the Bible, and this leader is found in the book of Daniel, which is in the Old Testament. And I just want to share a bit of context on that, this passage before I read it. Now, Daniel was placed in this really unique position where he was one of the king's accountable people, person he would go to seek advice. And so Daniel was placed in this position where he had, through God, and God had given this ability to interpret some of the king's dreams. And so this king trusted Daniel, he respected Daniel, and Daniel was placed in this unique position because of it. And our scripture I'm just going to read from Daniel 6, verse 10, will shed a bit of light on this. So it says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published..." Now this decree that it's talking about is a decree that the other two advisors for the king had tricked the king into signing. This decree was a decree that said that no one could worship or pray to any other god except the king. And so this is Daniel's response, or his way of responding to this. Now Daniel learned about this decree, that this decree was made if you prayed or worshiped any other god except the king, you'd be killed. And he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. There, three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. I find that just so powerful. Daniel, knowing his situation, that this decree had just been signed, that if he prayed or worshiped to any other god, that he'd be killed. And so I just see this as so valuable, such a strong lesson. And what happens is Daniel ends up being thrown into a lion's den. A lot of people know this classic story. And the lion's mouths are shut by God. And because of Daniel's situation where he acted according to his beliefs, he didn't change who he was because of the situation around him or the people around him or the things going on around him. He remained what he believed. He acted according to his beliefs. He didn't change that. Because of that, the king and so many other people got to see God in this such amazing, powerful thing, and it changed so many people's lives. When you lead yourself well, you are who you say you are, and you act according to your beliefs. When I was a mechanic, I had so many people that always used to come up to me and ask me, "Why don't you swear?" Or, "Why don't you come out to town clubbing with us, getting drunk and partying?" And the reason was because of my beliefs. I didn't believe that would be setting a good example for Christ. And so I didn't want to involve myself and put myself in a situation where I could be discrediting Christ. Now, if I had some workmates come along to a barbecue at my place or some other place, wherever it was, and they saw me drinking heaps and fooling around and getting drunk maybe or swearing my head off, they would completely lose respect in me. And worse than that, they would lose respect for my beliefs. It's so challenging. And it's a continual challenge that what we believe aligns with how we act. It's a challenge for me daily, watching TV programs. Is this something that I need to be spending time doing? Is it really benefiting me? TV programs are good, they can be entertaining, but are they really good for me? And am I spending so much time on this that it's changing who I am? And this goes for all leaders. This isn't just about us as believers. This goes for all leaders. If no matter where you are, what position you are, if you don't act according to your beliefs or do or say, if you're not who you say you are, people won't want to follow you. They won't want to listen to your rules, just like my story in my life with the leader that I had. I didn't really want to listen to him anymore because he clearly didn't hold his beliefs high and live up to them. But I believe as Christians that this is so important because we are leaders for Christ. And we are setting examples to others and we are living for Christ. And if we set a bad reputation of Christ, then people are going to be turned away. People aren't going to respect our beliefs. Are you who you say you are? Do you act according to your beliefs? I just want to ask the band to jump up now. Thank you, band. You guys are awesome. And if everybody else maybe just stands on their feet. I've been really challenged by what David and Virginia have said, and I really love Virginia's story as well about her life. How, you know, she never was swearing around her workmates, and she didn't do that, and she didn't really respond to them when they swore as well. And you may think that people don't notice, people don't really care. It's not that big a deal. But Virginia's story proves us that it isn't, that people do notice. They see these little things, the small things we do, whether it is at work or at home, whatever position it is. And it's important. We need to remember as believers that we are leaders for Christ. And everything we do has an overflow or an effect on people around us. Everything we say, everything we do. Another saying is garbage in, garbage out. You know, and this idea that what we fill ourselves with, what we spend ourselves, our time in, affects what will come out of us. And so this goes right in line with this. If we're spending our time, our energy, our focus on things that aren't pure or holy things or things that are going to build people up, if we spend time watching these programs that maybe will slowly eat their way into us and we'll start maybe speaking a little bit freely with our words and not thinking about them so much. These things are important. We are leaders for Christ. And so I just want to close in prayer as the band goes to sing this last song. But maybe there's something in your life that God's bringing to your attention that you need to maybe give over to Him. Maybe it's something that you do in your personal life that people don't know about, but that will soon eat away into your daily life, your work life. So I just want to pray now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We just thank you that you sent your Son to be the perfect example. Perfect example for us to see a leader, someone just so different, so unique, Even the people waiting for you didn't recognize you because you were so different. And I just thank you for these examples that we have in the Bible and your word, whether it's Joseph or Daniel. I just thank you that we can learn from these examples and learn from these stories. And some of them we've heard for so many years since we were kids, but they have so much meaning. So I just pray that we would start realizing that the importance to focus on you, the importance to follow you, to seek you, to live our lives according to our beliefs, Lord. We just want to bring all praise and glory to you tonight, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.